Hey, welcome to episode 10 of Learning the Ropes, a pro wrestling podcast. My name is Scott.
And I'm Brian.
And this week we're talking about the Hardy Boys.
Hardy Boys.
I'm super excited.
You want to know what the human body is not meant for?
What's that?
Everything these guys do. You want to know what I love?
Everything
these guys do.
Yeah, absolutely. The Hardy Boys growing up, I had a poster of them on my wall.
Oh,
I had the foam finger of the two fingers like pointed at the head so I could do the Hardy like, Yeah, Hardy Boys were.
What is that two finger thing? What does that mean?
I think it's like, I don't know. It looked like guns to me as a kid, like putting guns to your own head. You're doing suicidal type moves and things.
But
then sometimes
okay.
You just point it in the air. I don't really know. And anybody
it's super
who's been
hardcore
following
it was
Hardy
very
Boys,
much like a 90s early 2000s thing.
Oh, their early look was all Hot Topic. And I mean, that we'll get into that too,
which is, by the way, the unofficial sponsor of this episode.
Yeah, we're gonna be talking about Hot Topic a lot. We got to talk about Learning the Ropes for a second before we jump into the Hardy
Boys.
Yeah,
so we're just so excited about this episode, but yeah.
We got some iTunes reviews, and we got to thank everybody who's been writing the reviews. The iTunes reviews really help us get known and help us be able to do more and do bigger, better things with the podcast. So if anybody who listens would go out to iTunes and give us a 5-star review and let everybody know why they should listen to our show, we'd really appreciate it. And all the social media stuff, we're going to keep plugging it. It's at the LTR podcast for Learning the Ropes, at the LTR podcast. That's Instagram. We do these daily trivia posts where I go out and I find little known, you know, stories about all your favorite wrestlers. And I don't like the one we did a couple days ago was that Brodus Clay, who was the Funkasaurus in
Funkasaurus.
WWE, used to be Snoop Dogg's bodyguard in real life.
That's so goofy.
And so I found this amazing suit of the Funkasaurus in like a suit. I don't know if they were going to court or a business meeting or I don't know what it was.
He was big.
He was huge, especially
very large
compared to like the lanky Snoop Dogg. So there's like tons of fun extra content that you can find on our social medias. Facebook, look up Learning the Ropes, Instagram, Twitter, at
just an overall appreciation for wrestling culture and all that stuff, just meant to enrich your wrestling life.
Okay, well, let's stop whoring ourselves and get into the Hardy
Boys.
But
I really like whoring myself.
At the LTR podcast.
At the LTR podcast.
Here are the matches that I had Brian watch for one of my favorite tag teams
well,
of
so,
all time.
So last week we covered, who was it? It was John Morrison.
Right, Johnny Mundo.
Johnny Mundo, and he was, I forget who the guy was that he was tagging with, but it was a tag match, and they were facing the Hardy Boys. That's what led us to this episode, because the Hardys tore up his partner's face, blew it to pieces.
Joey Mercury. And
they
were the tag
dead.
Team was Eminem.
Yeah, I don't think he's really dead, but his face was definitely dead that day.
And we'll talk about him in this episode.
Oh, really?
He'll come back up. So.
Oh, awesome. But anyway, yeah, so that led us to this episode. So what are our matches again?
So I had Brian watch. Again, if you've never heard this show before, Brian knows nothing about wrestling, and I have been watching it my whole life, and Brian wanted to know about wrestling. So this is the show.
But now I'm learning a lot about wrestling, and
yeah, you know more than a lot of people at this point.
I'm becoming quite educated, but I'm keeping myself uneducated as to the culture.
Yeah, I feel like you don't do a lot of extra research besides the stuff I send you.
Exactly, and so it's very much through a concentrated window, and I'm still forming my own opinions about wrestling.
Yeah.
Which can be kind of silly sometimes.
I'm excited to hear what you think about the Hardys. Mm-hmm. Here are the matches. It was so hard to pick. These guys have done everything, and they're still one of the best tag teams, you know, 20 years after their debut or whatever it is. And I had them watch the Hardy Boys versus the Dudley Boys versus Edge and Christian in the first TLC match, which is Tables, Ladders, and Chairs. The second one was Hardy Boys versus the Dudley Boys versus Edge and Christian. Once again, WrestleMania 17. TLC 2, the sequel.
The sequel.
Then we had Hardy Boys, Dudley Boys, Edge and Christian. Now you add in Chris Benoit and Chris Jericho.
The Chris's.
We had a Benoit episode, and then Jericho, I feel, comes up all the time.
Jericho, so like how we've had Kurt Angle, like a secret Kurt Angle episode within all of our episodes, it's the same with Chris Jericho.
He comes up.
We have a secret Chris Jericho episode.
Yeah. So the first three matches were the first TLC matches. TLC 1, 2, and 3. And then I had him watch Edge versus Matt Hardy from SummerSlam 2005.
Ooh, we got to talk about this one.
Yeah. Because
I don't know what's going on here.
Jeff Hardy versus Matt Hardy. The brothers split up and go against themselves in an I Quit match. Impact Wrestling. This is our first TNA.
That's a weird ring.
Six-sided ring.
Six-sided ring. I don't really know what you do with that.
Yeah. And then Matt Hardy versus Jeff Hardy, TNA, the final deletion.
Oh, man. This is so great.
And this is the interesting thing. This is what I'll say
okay. To
you, is that there are going to be a lot of people who listen, who grew up listening, watching the Hardy Boys, love the Hardy Boys.
Yeah.
They left WWE, and they probably weren't following them much anymore.
Right.
And what you don't know, and what we'll cover today, is that they have really essentially rebooted their entire career, and I think they're doing something more entertaining than they ever did in WWE.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're super relevant now.
You know,
it seemed like in their career, like, I may be jumping the gun here, you know, and giving my thoughts, but it seemed like they were never like the headline, or I don't want to say
that. No, that's right. They weren't the main eventers.
It's kind of like how Rey Mysterio was, like, he was just kind of second fiddle to
steal the show, though.
Yeah, like everybody, like, fan favorite, not necessarily a company favorite.
Right. And then you go to TNA, and they are, you know, the main guys.
TNA's, like, so thankful to get them.
They sure are.
Yeah.
They sure are. the seventh match was Delete versus Decay, the Great War at TNA's
this
Bound for Glory.
This was hilarious. Like, well, just parts of this match were just so funny to me.
And I feel for a lot of listeners, everything I just said probably makes no sense. Delete versus Decay, the Great War, TNA Bound for Glory. They're just like, well, that is gibberish. That is bed knobs and broomsticks to me. I don't know.
But the thing is we will. I'm even going to post. So you gave me a couple like clips and articles to go over. So in the show notes, I'm going to put in all of that as well, so that you can gain some context, because Broken Hardys, so weird.
Yeah.
So like
the second half of their career is a tough nut to crack.
It
sometimes.
Is, but
it is weird.
It is a beautiful nut to crack, as far as nut cracking goes.
Absolutely. Eighth match was Hardy Boys versus The Club versus Enzo and Big Kaz versus Cesaro and Sheamus. WrestleMania 33, which you actually saw live.
Well, I did. We had a WrestleMania party.
Yeah.
And I had no idea why you and Adam were so... Adam was on the Ultimate Warrior episode, but I had no idea why you and Adam were so excited.
The Hardys came back to WWE, and we freaked out.
And I was
Brian.
Like, what is going on? He's like, shut up, Brian, and enjoy.
This isn't for you,
just
right?
Just shut up.
This great. Is for us.
Yeah.
So let's...
the faithful...
What are your thoughts? Before I jump into anything, what are your thoughts on the Hardys? I will split it into the WWF side of things and then the TNA side of things.
Oh, so thoughts on both?
Yeah, thoughts on both.
Okay.
Because they are very different.
They're different brands of things, you know? They're different brands of crazy.
It's crazy.
I mean, they still carry over with a lot of their moves and whatnot. Of course, you know, like Twist of Fate and Swanton Bomb.
Listen to how casually he uses those words.
I'm
just throwing out Swanton
Bomb
for no reason.
I'm learning wrestling.
Yeah.
I was actually really hesitant with these guys at first. You know, they were kind of like the impression I got was that they were the kids in recess. You know, at recess that I did not want to play with. You know, that I stayed away from because they were dangerous. They were doing bad things. They were doing the suck it signs. They were doing you know, all kinds of things. You know, like these were the kids that I wouldn't normally hang out with. So
they do look a little trashy.
A little
bit. The facial hair alone.
And
is
you know what?
Just be like,
I
why?
Own. I own that. That's really judgmental on my part. But you know what? It's just like how we said with NASCAR, multiple layers. We've referenced that a couple times in the episodes. Wrestling, you know, a lot of layers. Hardy Boys, layers within the like of their own.
Absolutely.
And there's something great to appreciate. And actually, I would say right along with Rey Mysterio and Macho Man, I love these guys so much. They
awesome.
Get me excited. You know, like Prince Puma is awesome as well. Same with Johnny Mundo. I love those guys, but like. These guys got me so excited. I mean, you can probably hear it in my voice. I'm just really just
cool.
excited to talk about these guys. They gave me the chills a lot of times because they do crazy spots. They risk life and limb to
absolutely
for our entertainment.
And then you got to place it into when this was all taking place. Is these matches, especially the first half, the WWF side, you know, this was late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
And people were not seeing these things. I don't think I had you watch this match because I had you kind of focused on the TLC matches.
Yeah.
But them and Edge and Christian had the first tag team ladder match. And they've referred to, you know, the Shawn Michaels Razor Ramon ladder match that you and I watched as sort of the Lou Thez of ladder matches.
Lou
Thez is from the 30s, 40s, 50s, something like that. You know, he's an old time wrestler. And they're like, yeah, Shawn and Razor had a great ladder match for, you know, the olden days.
This is not your grandmother's ladder match. You know, like this is.
Yeah, exactly.
Grandma's ladder matches were a lot tamer than these ladder matches.
It was crazy to be a kid watching these matches.
Well, this was like during the Attitude Era, too, where everything was like pushing the button, pushing the envelope, going a little out of bounds, Lita's the big old whale tail happening in the back.
That thong was.
She did not know
all
how.
All over the place.
Yeah.
That was
definitely
crazy.
Some Attitude Era stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Thongs were everywhere in 2000.
That's true.
I mean, Cisco had the thong song, and that was just like the go-to fashion thing.
It was a new thing we discovered.
If I were to see someone with a thong now, I would just be terrified. Because first of all, you know they bought it in 2000 and they're still wearing it, because I don't think you can buy them anymore. And especially the ones that I feel like they look like suspenders. Like they're so high up.
The one that Lita was wearing?
Yeah.
100%.
Looks like a wrestling singlet.
It's a
little
much. But
that was the look, and I can't lie. Everybody loved that back
all
then.
All that extreme stuff carried over into the move sets as well. And also kind of like just the nature of the physicality of wrestling, it seemed, because a lot of this stuff is like, we watched WrestleMania 33's match just barely, just to get a refresher on it,
right,
and it's very different than this, than all the Attitude Era stuff that we watched.
It certainly seems safer,
a lot tamer. Yeah,
you know, again, it goes back to like Benoit dying and other people dying and injuries and careers going early.
I saw what are those things? Like a little GIF of, like it said, my day today, and it showed Chris Benoit on the top rope, and somebody had a chair, like was lying down, had a chair, across their body, and he just 100% dives head first and smacks his head right into that chair, and. You know, like, I get it. That's actually funny, out of context.
Sure.
But
everyone's had a week like that. It's just
but
where that
week
takes.
Having done the Chris Benoit episode, done all that research, it actually, like,
it's less funny.
It's less funny.
Yeah, I totally get that.
You're like, you don't know what happened after that.
Yeah. And there were definitely injuries in all of these TLC matches. I mean, they were, you know, the next night they come out and they get their standing ovations and everybody loves them.
Why the next night?
It's different. Oh, they come out on Raw and, you know, and they keep the storylines going and things in the crowd.
I see.
You're definitely showing them a lot of love. And they just hadn't ever seen anything like that before. And what I love about the TLC matches is the buildup to me was very natural.
It was great. Like, these TLC matches were, like, if these were, like, the first, like, TLC 1. We'll reference it as TLC 1. For being like quote unquote the first of the tag team ladder matches,
right.
You know, to be televised or whatever, it was actually really well put together.
Definitely
fun to watch.
Yeah,
like I didn't have very many, like it didn't have too many of the whole like half hour of like two guys completely missing, you know, from the match. It didn't have too terribly much of that.
And that is one of all my big complaints about wrestling, like a Money in the Bank ladder match. You've got six guys in the ring, but only two of them are ever in the ring. You know, everybody's laid out somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. What was that? The Elimination Chamber, I think.
This
last Elimination Chamber was awful.
And even when you can have only two guys in the ring because the other four are still in the pods, it just didn't get that much better when everybody else came out.
Wasn't great. Wasn't great. But yeah, thoroughly enjoyed TLC 1. And they had a really what I noted. Well, okay, so I actually want to talk about like the combination of wrestlers in that match. So first off,
Hardy Boys, Dudley Boys, Edge and Christian.
Edge and Christian, and Dudley Boys, another set of wrestlers I'm a little hesitant to dive into because they're like those kids that were like the buttholes of the of the class, you know?
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about when I say buttholes of the class. And What is that move that they do? They've got the move where Bubba Ray...
Oh, at first I was like, the 3D? And I was like, no, of course. He's talking about the one where Devon headbutts the guy in the dick. Yeah. No,
is it in the dick or is it in the balls?
Or in the butthole. I have no idea. He's got a big enough head. His head hits the whole general area. After screaming, weather!
Oh, gosh.
Such a dated reference to an old Budweiser commercial.
Yep.
Somehow got over with the crowd. Somehow didn't get sued by Budweiser, and now he's stuck with that whenever they team up together. Now still has to scream "What's up?" And oh yeah, in this week of Are They Dead, everyone in that match is still alive.
Really?
Shockingly.
Yes.
Always in that match
is still alive.
Well, we got Benoit coming up a little later.
That's right. He's dead.
I think Benoit might be the only dead one on this lineup, which is pretty good for a wrestling.
Yeah, we're doing great this episode.
One guy died before his time.
And a lot of tag teams, so a lot of people. We're doubling up.
Absolutely. They are young. I mean, none of them might make 50. I don't know.
I don't know. Those Hardy Boys. So actually, one thing that you were saying is like how Jeff is still walking is a miracle.
It's insane because he is a human ragdoll. I mean, he jumps off the highest things and hits the hardest things.
On his neck, it's
crazy. And he's been doing it since he was a little kid. And actually, before we get into this, we should probably talk about how the Hardys came up in wrestling.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Super interesting story.
Because you were telling me that they've had a long career in wrestling.
Yeah. And so they grew up in North Carolina, way out in the country. Didn't really know, had a lot of friends out there. 120 acres of land. Their dad was a tobacco farmer.
Oh, nice.
And they watched WrestleMania 4. And they were obsessed with Macho Man.
That was their guy.
Macho Man was their guy.
I'm going to influence the Hardy Boys. Gotta take off my sunglasses to see the action. He just called the world champion of the world. I'm scared of Kia.
Yes. And they got a trampoline for Christmas, and they started the Trampoline Wrestling Federation, the TWF. This is something.
That
this is an
gives
important...
me a heart attack. Like, trampolines are like the...
This is how I know you're too old to be a wrestler, because it's just, you see a trampoline, you're going to break your neck on that thing. Yeah,
Either your neck or your ankle or something, but somebody's going to the hospital.
And they started their own thing. And this is a little bit of history knowledge for you, is that every backyard wrestling federation either ended with a WF for Wrestling Federation or a CW for Championship Wrestling.
Championship Wrestling. Wrestling for the championships.
Like my fed that I grew up with, that I started, was called LCW, stood for Lucha Libre Championship Wrestling, which was the funniest joke to me because all of us were like 250-pound white kids who did no Lucha Libre at all.
Terrible. What made you choose Lucha Libre?
I was obsessed with Lucha Libre.
Really? Yeah. Just like me?
Yeah, I just loved it. And I didn't have Lucha Underground. I was buying bootleg tapes, but I was just like, yes, Lucha Libre Championship Wrestling. And all the rest of the people in the group were like, that makes no sense. Mm-hmm. We don't do Lucha Libre. We don't look like people who do Lucha Libre.
And I've seen some of the highlight tapes from this. Not Lucha Libre.
No, they were. It was many things, but Lucha Libre, it was not. But I was the Matt Hardy of the group, and I said went. I started that up. And
so you're saying Matt Hardy was the head of their federation?
Matt Hardy was the older brother. He's 3 years older than Jeff, and he decided we're going to be Trampoline Wrestling Federation.
Brother Nero.
We will get into Brother Nero. They ended up meeting a guy after doing some shows, and Matt was High Voltage and Jeff was the Wolverine. Those were their first wrestling names.
High Voltage and the Wolverine.
And they met a guy who had a ring, a real ring, but not really.
Yeah. How do you not really have a real ring?
Because it was a real ring with a trampoline in the middle.
Oh.
It was like a hybrid real wrestling ring trampoline. I've never heard of this.
Sounds like something that'd be in the pits of hell.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like this in my whole time watching backyard wrestling. I've seen people wrestle on trampolines. I've seen people wrestle in crappy rings.
Can you take somebody seriously wrestling on a trampoline?
We sure didn't.
Did you?
Boy, okay. Even though we couldn't do three good moves to save our lives, we're just a bunch of roly-polies just like hitting each other with like traffic cones. We judge the hell out of you if you wrestled on trampolines. So they found this guy and they ended up they ended up working with him, and they started booking local shows in North Carolina.
Oh, nice. So they got traction.
They got traction, and they were the East Coast Wrestling Federation. And Matt was the promoter. He would go out with a little suit on, a little briefcase, and go try to get sponsorships to, like, rent the venue. You know, he taught himself how to sew so that he could make everybody's ring gear because they couldn't afford ring gear. And he booked all the wrestlers. He tried to get them paid $20, you know, a show, and he just did everything he could. And they, yeah, you're right. They started to gain traction.
That's
awesome. Matt Hardy was working three jobs trying to promote this.
Wow.
I mean, he was just doing everything he could to pay his own bills and keep this wrestling thing going.
Nice passion.
They finally found an investor, and they started a new organization with this new investor who bought them a real ring and helped them, you know, he said, whatever you need to get these shows going, all I ask is that you put on an amazing wrestling show and, you know, and get sponsors to pay for the venue rental. If you can do that, I'll pay for the rest. And that's when they created Omega. And Omega stands for... I'm not going to remember what it's... Oh, I had it in my notes somewhere, but Omega stands for, like...
Oh, is it an acronym?
Yeah, it is,
oh,
sure is.
Of course it's an acronym.
It was the Organization of Something Extreme Grappling Arts.
Yes!
Marshall... Something like that. It's pretty big name. But here's the thing. Omega started getting a pretty good following,
yeah.
But also Matt Hardy was training wrestlers without being trained himself. You know, he just sort of... He was, since a young age, he could always see the next step of where to go. And he was just a hustler.
That's really
and
cool.
And he got things going. And
you know,
he was a
that
good
actually
guy.
Kind of makes sense. Sorry, I don't mean to cut
no,
in here.
No, go for it.
But, like, it kind of makes sense with their current career because, like, a lot of people at their age start to fade out. Guess what? They're more relevant than they've ever been.
Absolutely.
And more beloved than they've ever been because of actually Matt's new shtick, yeah. Broken Matt.
He did. He came up with a gimmick and a whole new thing that you'd never seen in wrestling before.
Yeah.
And he's
a great
been doing
marketer.
That since he was, you know, a teenager. And Omega launched careers of other wrestlers.
Oh, really?
Like, quite a few other wrestlers, and including Joey Mercury, who got his face busted.
Ooh, they busted the hell out of his face.
But they'd been friends since they were teenagers, and so I'm just going to name off some wrestlers.
Yeah, go for it.
So Joey Mercury,
mm-hmm.
Lita, who you saw come
oh, wow.
in later, Shane Helms, who played the Hurricane in WWF, Joey Abs, who was in the Mean Street Posse, Marty Garner, who, if everyone's seen that gif of Triple H doing a pedigree and the guy thinks it's like a double underhook suplex, doesn't realize that he's supposed to pancake down, instead just tries to flip and then gets spiked on the top of his head.
Ah.
That's Marty Garner. Oh, yeah, it would give you a nightmare for 2 years. Marty Garner was also the first guy to take a stunner on TV from Stone Cold.
Wait, so what happened to him after that?
He was okay. Still alive.
Still alive.
Yeah, on this episode,
really?
He's still alive. Marty Garner, I believe, as far as I know, still alive.
Fantastic.
Christian York from TNA. Shannon Moore from WCW's 3 Count. A whole bunch of these other guys. Like Omega, these guys, these kids. I mean, it was kids putting on a wrestling federation, and they influenced a whole generation of, you know, guys getting signed from the biggest companies.
That's
it was
awesome.
Super. Oh, here it is. Organization of Modern Extreme Grappling Arts. Omega.
Organization of what?
Organization of Modern Extreme Grappling Arts. Omega.
Or wrestling.
Yeah, or Wrestling Federation. Just WF. Just
you know
even...
what, though? That is a, like, when, what year was this that they had Omega?
This was probably mid-90s, late 90s.
Oh, Omega's going to do, that name's going to do 97. Great in that time.
They wanted something different because
they
were starting to see everybody was...
Yeah, everybody would be doing the same thing.
Championship Wrestling, Wrestling Federation, or Wrestling Alliance.
Right.
You know, like NWA.
Yeah.
NWA. They met a guy who knew a guy who knew a guy who wrestled for the WWE called the Italian Stallion Gary Sabah.
Oh, no.
And
wait, that's,
we will
not
never
right.
do an Italian Stallion Gary Sabah
so?
Episode. I can't foresee that happening. But he said, hey, guys, there was, you know, 14 of them. They used to pile in a van together. And he's like, why don't you come do extra work for the WWF? And they did. I mean, they came and they were jobbers and they weren't under contract, but they were getting paid $150 a night to come and lose to guys like they were getting in the ring with Razor Ramon.
Almost enough to pay your emergency room bills.
But not
almost
because the Italian Stallion would take $100 from each of them.
What?
As a booking fee.
What an asshole.
He is an asshole. But if you listen to the Hardys talk about it now, they're just like, oh, man, that's the wrestling business. Full of snakes, but he got us booked, so we're appreciating. I mean, it was the attitude was really, especially back then, any way to make a buck. So he could make $1,400 extra dollars on top of what he got paid by taking these 14 kids' money. You know,
what a jackass.
And they started to sort of form a mutiny against the old Italian Stallion.
Good. Did they kick his ass?
No, he just left them one day. He like drove. He just took off and headed to the next show and was like, screw you, kids. You can find your own way to WWF without me.
Oh.
What? And they totally did. They were like, fantastic. Guess we'll start keeping our $150.
Right.
You think we can't drive to Georgia? Yeah. They got a van. They drove to Georgia. They told WWF, don't call the Italian Stallion anymore. Mm-hmm. We're in the Matt Hardy business. And
wow.
So that's how they started getting pushes. They got signed to WWF. The very first time Matt Hardy wrestled for WWF was on a live episode of Raw. It was not long after Razor Ramon, Shawn Michaels' ladder match, but Matt wrestled this like old guy named Nikita Koloff, and it was not a great match. And he knows it wasn't. He said like he wanted to put on this style that they were doing with Omega, which had never been really seen before.
Was it a lot of that like high flying stuff? A lot of the not Lucha Libre style high flying, but just like a lot of extreme stuff.
Absolutely, a lot of high flying. I mean, tons. Really? They were huge risk takers, and most of those guys that I listed, same way. You know, and so there's actually highspots.com. Highspots sells a DVD documentary about Omega Wrestling.
Okay.
And you can go see all of this footage from the early Hardy Boy stuff.
Oh, nice.
They're doing 450 splashes when there were only two people in the world doing 450 splashes, Hayabusa and Too Cold Scorpio. And, and they're doing this stuff, and the crowd is, you see them, they just pop, they go crazy at all this craziness. So that brings us to the Hardys in WWF. I know that was a lot to process.
No, it's really nice to know, like, where they come from, though, because, like, they've had such a long career.
Yes.
Like, from a really early age, kind of like Rey Mysterio.
Absolutely. You know? Yes, I think that's a great point, is that they were part of this generation that did get to start really young and just work their asses off. And by the time
they hustled,
they got to, the year 2000, they had a lot of years under their belts.
Right.
And it was cool. They were just doing things especially in the Attitude Era when people, you just didn't see stuff like this.
Right.
ECW obviously had a lot of extreme stuff too, but the Hardy Boys just came with a certain polish that the WWF helped them mold. They got their outfits looking right. They got their gimmicks right.
They got those fishnets happening on his arms.
You gotta get the fishnets. So
that was actually, can I say that's like one of the main things that I was like, ugh.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No one should look at those fishnets and
also
be like, those are my
hair?
Guys.
The facial hair?
Disgusting.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, it's really bad.
And it's
bad.
Still gross, but I love them to death.
Yeah. So they got teamed up with a guy named Michael Hayes, who was from a tag team called the Freebirds.
The Freebirds.
And the Freebirds were one of the best tag teams of all time. And they said, you know what? We're going to team you up with Michael Hayes. You're going to learn from him. He's going to be your manager. They dressed him up in those fishnets. He was always like a cowboy guy, like a lot of denim, a lot of big belt buckles.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, and he tried to get them to dress that way.
Oh, no.
And
they're
the
not
Hardy said, mm-mm, no, man, it's 2000.
This is not the future.
Yeah, we're going to
the
Hot
world
Topic.
Is ending in just a couple. Or no, wait, this was after 2000?
This was a little bit before 2000.
Before 2000? So yeah, the world is ending soon.
Y2K.
We got to wear fishnets.
Yeah.
Got to wear fishnets while we can and pipes.
So let's hear.
Good old Lee pipes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And baggy.
Baggy Lee pipes.
I want to hear what you thought about these TLC matches, because that sort of brings us to that.
Yeah.
They won the tag team ladder match. WWF started getting high on them. They were feuding with Edge and Christian a ton. Those guys came up together. And now we hit TLC 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, and now it's a pay-per-view.
And now there's a whole pay-per-view based off of the match that they had an idea from.
And that there's a good reason for that, you know? Like you said, there was a really nice, organic build-up to the action of this, and there was, like, no fear.
Well, because the Dudley Boys came from ECW, and they did tables.
Oh.
That was their thing. And then Hardys were high flyers jumping off ladders. They were the ladders. Edge and Christian sort of got, you know, leftovers,
you guys can have chairs. Yeah.
Which were fine. They did a lot with the chairs.
Their thing was like the smacking with chairs from both sides.
The concerto.
Is that what it's called?
That's what it's called.
The concerto. They did a lot of unprotected chair spots.
Jesus Lord, they did. So many unprotected chair
Dudley
shots.
The Dudley Boys took two insane chair shots at the beginning of this match.
Yeah. The sound they make. WWF, especially back then, great mics under the ring and around the ring.
Yeah.
Like, they picked up those chair shots, and it sounded like you were getting hit with the chair.
Yeah, I felt like I was getting hit with the chair. And the thing is like, so Bubba Ray gets hit with a chair really effing hard from Edge here at the beginning of this. I don't know if it was in TLC 1 or TLC 2, but he just sits there for a second, and you know he's feeling it.
Yeah.
And there's definitely a reason for, like, them on the ground for a little bit. You know, they've got to recover.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And especially in this match, because it just kept on building and building and building, and suddenly, like we start with one ladder being brought in, then we have two ladders, three ladders, suddenly we have a table.
They do that teeter-totter move that shattered Joey Mercury's nose, you know?
They do that, and actually it gets done on, like, Matt gets is the victim of that in here. And I don't know what exactly happened with that move, but it looked like he got hit in the back of the head with it.
It was kind of crazy looking.
It looked really insane.
I have here in my notes, all in caps with an exclamation point, so many unprotected chair shots. Well, it's my hardest thing to see. I just think, like, if we knew,
I think that's
then
so
what
funny.
We know now.
Yeah. You know, well, I guess you kind of have a better reason to not like those than I do
like
pile drivers.
I used to get them all the time. I mean, the amount of times I've been hit in the head,
I've
makes
never
me
taken
worry
a chair
for
shot.
My friends and family.
So I can't say anything.
It's awesome, but I don't recommend it.
But then the Dudley Boys do this little bit with
the what's up?
They stack the tables on top of each other.
And
they do that through all three of these.
Yeah,
you know.
So you got four tables,
two
stacks of two,
and
someone's going through them
and
all.
And you know, like, one thing that I have to note in here as well is, like, there's a limited space for the ring and the space outside the ring before you hit the crowd or the barricade in the crowd. And they did such a good job aiming their bodies. Like, when they would tilt the ladder, tilt it over to where they would fall out of the ring and onto a table or something like that. They did such a good job not nailing the barricades, you know?
Yeah.
It's really impressive.
Ooh, speaking of nailing the barricades, that just reminded me. I was watching some old Omega stuff when they were kids, and Jeff Hardy does this, like, springboard backflip moonsault thing, and his shin comes down and bends the metal barricade.
Wait,
like,
what?
Like, his shin, he does the backflip, he comes down, the guys don't really catch him so well, and he hits this metal barricade with his shin so hard that it bends the metal. It just sounds like,
ouch.
It seemed like one of the most painful spots ever, and I just, when you said hit the barricade. And also, how does Jeff Hardy still walk? I mean, that was when he was, you know, 16 years old, 17 years old. I don't know how he's still going. Especially after the craziness you see in these TLC matches.
Yeah.
Like,
well, what was cool about these TLC matches, too, is that, like, each one seemed to build off the other. You know, like, there were a lot of homages paid from TLC 2 to TLC 1, and then same with TLC 3 to TLC 2 and 1. It was really, really cool. Can I say, like, one of my favorite moments in there was, I don't know if this was TLC 1 or TLC 2. I can't remember.
They do bleed together a little bit.
Yeah. But they, it's like just one big match over years.
Yeah.
But, like, there's a point where somehow all the small ladders are lined up in a way for Jeff to get or to, like, walk across them.
Oh, yeah.
And
that, I think that was in number 2.
Yeah, and he holds on to the, you know, he's hanging off of the belts, and suddenly the ladder leaves him. And because somebody's a jerk, as they always are, and they take the ladder out from him.
Yep.
And then Edge gets up the big ladder and he spears him from that position to the apron.
Yeah.
And
disgusting.
Oh man.
That was WrestleMania 17. That was TLC 2. Jeff Hardy has said numerous times that that move took years off his life.
Really?
I mean, that was one of the hardest bumps he's ever taken. I mean, he's just dangling there. You can't really protect yourself.
And he landed on his side.
Oh, yeah. Edge comes diving off. And if you watch Edge, you can tell Edge was being very careful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't just a reckless dive.
Right.
I mean, he goes and tries to guide him down. But Jeff is like a human ragdoll. I mean, you never know how he's going to land.
Yeah.
And he's great at selling, but like... That is one of, and that gif shows up everywhere.
Does I mean, it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay. Always. So yeah, because that like burned in my mind. And they do that again, I think, something like it again.
Yeah,
there's
something
SmackDown
in the third
one.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, that just, you know, like you said, the fact that Jeff is walking, a miracle.
The fact that TLC 3 was on an episode of SmackDown,
yeah, so
and not
was,
a pay-per-view.
That was a little weird. I was going
to
bring that
they
up.
They just showed up to SmackDown that day, and they're like, hey, what are we doing today? And they're like, oh, you guys are going to do a TLC match. And they're like, hell no, we're not going to do another TLC match. Like, we're barely recovered from the last TLC match.
Oh, yeah.
We're not just going to...
They were pretty close together, too.
Yeah, and they're like, we're not just going to pull that out of our ass. And they're like...
No, you are. Actually, you are.
And they talked about that to the guys promoting the show, going, you know, we try to one-up every time.
Yeah.
We try to make this better and better and build on itself. Like, you really want to do this on an episode of SmackDown? And they're like,
right.
We do. Also, instead of just using the guys that you're comfortable with and having done this before, here's Chris Jericho and Chris Benoit.
Yeah,
what could go wrong?
Well, and here's the thing is like... Oh man, here's something that I love about wrestling, because whenever they bring the cameras into the locker room, and the two guys are standing real close, they're standing really close to each other, and it's like as if I was standing really close to you, and they talk in low tones, like they think that we're just a joke, that it's all just a fluke. Well. We'll show them tonight on SmackDown.
And then they just stare.
And they just stare at each other.
And the camera slowly
pans away. Chris Jericho gets both hands on Chris Benoit's on his pecs. Just yeah. Like it's just and if we talked in that cadence for this podcast, these episodes would take forever.
Yeah, it'd be like 3 hours long,
and it'd be really like uncomfortable for everybody.
The second match that we watched was a TLC.
Holy shit! I can't take this anymore. No.
So,
I really liked Chris Jericho and Chris Benoit. I mean, Chris Benoit is out for most of this match. Classic. Once that happened, I was like, well, I know who's winning this match.
Yeah.
Here's the thing is, like, the Hardys didn't win any of the TLC 1, 2, and 3 matches.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's for nuts.
I mean, it was Edge and Christian
like
time.
Like I said, they are definitely fan favorites, but not company favorites.
Yeah. When I said earlier what could go wrong by adding these new guys into the match,
yeah, that's right.
Bubba Ray Dudley has an idea. At one point, Jericho hits a bulldog on Bubba Ray off the ladder and just gives him a nasty concussion.
Oh, really?
I mean, he just... It wasn't the most insane move, and it looked like just something went a little wrong.
Yeah.
He landed wrong. He landed on his head.
A botch.
And he's... Benoit gets stretchered out, but Bubba Ray keeps wrestling. So they have a fake injury with Benoit where they cart mm-hmm. him out. Bubba Ray's in there out of his mind with this concussion. And there's this crazy story that afterwards they're backstage and Bubba Ray is like crying and like wants to
really?
See his mom, and Devon Dudley has to keep reminding him that his mom is dead.
And holy he doesn't crap! Is this a legend?
This is real.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
So this is off camera. This is just backstage after this. His concussion was so bad, like he thought his mom was still alive, and he wanted to call her. And every 5
minutes. When did that happen in the match? Like,
it's like mid-match. Jericho hits a bulldog on him and takes him down to the ring, and he just spikes his head. And
what's
just
a bulldog?
Bulldog is like a... It's like you grab him in a headlock, run forward, and kind of just like throw their face to the ground.
Oh, really?
And okay. So Jericho jumps off, grabs Bubba's head, and just brings him down to the mat. And he just lands poorly, and...
Dang.
Yeah, he had to go to
the
hospital.
You know, I think I remember seeing that. I think I remember seeing that and saying... Well, it didn't look quite...
It doesn't... Right. Yeah, if you watch it back, it definitely doesn't look like it happened the way it should.
Yeah.
The other thing that from this match that I always remember is that Devon Dudley is deathly afraid of heights.
He looks deadly... Okay, all right. So he looks deathly afraid of heights. Because
he is.
Because he is not having much fun with that what's up as Bubba Ray is.
No.
He is not. You can see it in his face. He's a little scared.
Yeah, dangling
okay.
off
yes,
from
I'm
the
so
belts.
Yes, I'm so glad I caught that.
Yeah, he did the best. I mean, if I were that scared of heights, I wouldn't be in that match at all. So props to him for even going through with it. But good Lord.
Yeah.
So I want to get into Matt Hardy versus Edge.
Yeah, so this is something that you sent to me a little bit later,
mm-hmm.
and you were like, well, this is just kind of like a 9-minute match, but it's important that you watch it. And I was like, okay, why? All right, so I didn't...
It's a short match. It's the opening match for
SummerSlam.
There's
a reason why it's short.
It's only like, I don't know, 5 minutes long or so.
Yeah.
And... Matt Hardy comes out trying to knock Edge out, choking him. It's
this wasn't
not really a very
it wasn't
wrestling
a wrestling it wasn't a wrestling match at all.
It was a brawl.
It was like there and stiff.
Here's why.
Let's see.
Because Matt Hardy hates Edge.
Oh, really?
In real life, hates him. Didn't always hate him.
Yeah.
He tore his ACL in his knee. Matt Hardy did, and was out for 6 months.
Okay.
During those 6 months. He discovered that his long-term girlfriend of the time, Lita...
Oh, that was real.
Was real. They were dating in real life. Cheated on Matt with Edge.
Ooh.
And found a voicemail in her phone saying, you know, you should leave Matt and come with me. I love you. Like, I know this is hard, but let's do this. So Matt goes and wakes Lita up and says, what the hell? Throws her out of the house. And WWF promptly fires Matt Hardy.
Really?
Yeah, they fired Matt. They said, you know what? I don't think you're going to be able to handle this. I think you need some time off. We're going to let you go. And he's just like, so first of all, I got cheated on. Secondly, by my best friend. Third, you're firing me and not them. They're on TV. Edge is the little golden boy. So you're not going to fire him. Well, shit, I guess I'll just go home.
Yeah.
And he went home, and he tried to calm down, and then WWF called him and said, hey, we want to bring you back. A few months later, how you doing? The internet got a hold of that story.
Okay.
Because Matt Hardy put it on the internet.
Oh, nice.
And he went and just lambasted everybody. And then WWE was like, well, now everybody knows what happened.
Uh-huh.
Let's try to make some money off of it because we're assholes.
Because this is the Attitude Era.
Yeah, and they brought it back, and they had a whole angle where they made Matt Hardy and Edge feud over Lita. It was crazy.
Well, and then
he hated him so much.
They had this match where like they started throwing fists, and like this turned into like an MMA match. You know, like
Matt gets busted open, gets his head hit on the ring post and just starts gushing blood.
Yeah.
And then the ref just kind of ends it.
He's just like, this is a... Well, I'm sure he had somebody in his ear saying, this is getting out of control.
Yeah, let's wrap this up.
Yeah.
I mean, great match.
Oh, good match.
I mean, because everybody knows it's real life.
You could see that there's a balance of professionalism and pure hatred in there, too. It's, like, you can see it because there is... Like, there's some points in there where you're like... You can see that they're saying to themselves, oh, wait, this is a wrestling match. So they're
going.
There does need to be this spot. I do need to let him do this spot to me. But then it then turns into complete fury. And then it calms down into a wrestling match. And then it goes into complete fury again. And so, yeah, this match was crazy. It was uncomfortable to watch because I didn't have any context for it. I was like, there's something wrong. There's something happening here. This is like an episode of Jerry Springer.
Yeah, and that's really what it was. Yeah. And it was a great blend of reality and kayfabe and the professionalism of both of those guys to go through with it and do everything. I mean, it was just a really... When I gave you the list, the reason I added this one last is because... there were like a couple parts, a low parts of the Hardy legacy that I didn't know if I wanted to like fully jump into and cover. Okay. For Matt Hardy, it's how poorly he handled that whole situation. Some say he handled it poorly. I, on the other hand...
You know, I've been in a situation similar.
Yeah.
I think he's all right.
Yeah. You're like, I have a new favorite wrestler, and it's Matt Hardy. It's, and I hope Edge
him
dies.
Him and I can be homies. Yeah. Yeah.
And the other half was Jeff Hardy, and this goes into how does Jeff Hardy walk? Well, yeah. For a long time, he walked because he was on a massive amount of drugs.
Oh, really?
Massive amount
not
of
entirely,
drugs.
Not entirely surprised.
No, definitely not. But he was on a ton of somas and, what is it? It's not HGH. GHB, the date rape drug. He was taking that just for himself.
Oh, really? The Ruflin?
Uh-huh. Wow. Yeah. He got arrested after... he was let go for drug abuse, and then like a little while later, he got... Oh, this was 2009, so he had been in TNA for a while. The police raided Jeff Hardy's home, and they found 262 Vicodin pills, 180 Soma pills, and 555 milliliters of anabolic steroids, and then some residual cocaine. And so
residual cocaine.
Right, meaning the cocaine had been done. Like, they found what
was
left. It was
everywhere.
Yeah, and... He pleaded guilty, served 10 days in jail, and then cleaned up his life. And he's sober now. He's doing a lot better. I didn't want to get into that whole thing, but...
Because we're kind of celebrating them, you know?
They're amazing, but they've definitely both had... Matt's had a DUI arrest, and I don't know. But we were talking about how does Jeff Hardy walk, and how can you do that to your body for that long? Well, you get addicted to painkillers is how you do it.
Yeah, so that's understandable.
He had a match.
Super relaxed before you take that hit.
Yeah, and I almost put this match on here, and I decided not to.
Okay.
It was Jeff Hardy versus Sting at a TNA show called Victory Road.
Oh,
Sting.
You took Sting off the list
off the opponent's list.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't have picked him after this match.
You don't think so?
The match is about a minute long.
Oh, really?
Jeff Hardy is clearly intoxicated out of his mind.
Oh,
he
really?
Can't wrestle.
Wow.
So Sting, realizing what's happening, just sort of tackles him, pins him. Jeff Hardy gets his shoulder up. The ref just counts three, and they just say, hey, we're done. This is a pay-per-view. I believe it was the main event of that pay-per-view.
Oh, shit.
I mean, he really screwed up royally.
Wow.
Then the arrest happened, and then he
you
got
said this
clean.
Was Jeff Hardy or Matt Hardy?
This was Jeff.
Okay.
The high-flying, crazy one.
Facial hair.
Yeah. So that was in the middle of a TNA run. Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy sort of bounced back and forth between TNA and WWE for a while.
Okay.
And then they get into, in 2016, they get into the Broken Hardy storyline.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's,
so this is where they're completely out of WWE at this point.
They're done.
They're done with WWE. Blah, I can't even talk. But, on a podcast. But how long have they been out of WWE at that point?
They had been out for a while.
Okay.
Because they had come back and did a run, I want to say like 2006, 7, 8, something like that. They had the tag titles. And at some point, Jeff Hardy had a singles run where he ran against The Undertaker. Matt Hardy had a whole storyline where he was Matt Hardy 1.0 or version 1.0.
Oh, really?
And he was the sensei of Mattitude.
Yes.
And he had MFers, Matt followers.
Oh.
He's like, my MFers. And they both did some singles stuff. And then WWF brought them back as the tag team, and they had a great run. And
seems like their best gimmick or their best shtick is the tag
team. The tag team.
Like it doesn't seem like either of them had really memorable singles careers.
No, not really. They're known as the tag team. And,
right.
But what's great is that they have some of their best matches against each other, but also still being a team in this Broken Hardys thing.
Yeah. So. The first TNA match that you sent me, by the way, TNA very much feels like an off-brand WWE.
They
like,
sure do.
Like their whole six-sided ring thing, not really getting me too much. I don't know. It's definitely like, I feel all right watching Lucha Underground. Like it's not a waste of my time because it's something so different. So extreme, and it's a really polished product, you know, as far as wrestling goes. TNA does not feel that way. I think Broken Hardys is probably the best thing that's that. Like, I'm gonna go out on a limb and
it's
say
a short limb.
Yeah,
you're safe on that.
All
limb.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go out there and say Broken is probably the best thing that's happened to that company
ever.
And
I will say one thing about TNA is it's responsible for AJ Styles getting the push that
really?
He did.
Okay.
He was an indie guy.
So
with
they're
Daniel
a really
Bryan
good B brand.
They are the B brand.
A B or
and
C
they
brand.
Are a far... When WCW was the B brand,
uh-huh.
they actually became the A brand for a little while. They
TNA?
Were no. Oh, God, no. WCW. WCW started beating WWF in the ratings.
Right, okay.
Attitude Era, all
yeah.
through that, all through that time.
Change.
Monday Night Wars. And, you know, then WWF bought WCW mm-hmm. and, you know, moved on. TNA sort of popped up later, mid-2000s, mm-hmm. and...
feels like NXT in a way, right?
Yes, absolutely,
yeah.
but worse in a lot of ways.
yeah,
it's...
Well, it doesn't have the money of WWE backing it.
Yeah, and there are diehard TNA fans, and
yeah.
I don't want to shit on TNA too hard because
no.
they're going up against just, I mean, a giant. And they've done a lot of stuff right that WWF hasn't been able to. They had an X division,
mm-hmm.
which is like a lightweight division, with some of the best matches I have ever, ever, ever seen.
Really?
I mean, it was just, they had an amazing roster.
Yeah.
They just were never WWE.
Right. Well, and I don't want to shit on them too hard either. I'm just saying.
But a little bit.
Yeah.
As someone coming in,
yeah,
for,
it's just like,
never seen it before.
You know, like, the thing is I'm watching so much wrestling right now. You know, I'm watching so much wrestling, more wrestling than I have ever consumed in my entire life. Probably more than, like, just a lot of people get to watch it during the week. Definitely wouldn't choose TNA.
Yeah.
You know, if I got to choose between WWE or Lucha Underground, because I only finished season one just barely.
Of Lucha Underground?
Yeah, now I'm on to season two. I'm going to watch one of those. And there's a lot to watch. There's just a lot. You know, it's like it's all competing.
I mean, Raw is 3 hours every week.
Yeah.
And a lot of people complain
that's,
about
that's
it's too
obnoxious.
Much. Yeah, it really is.
It, like, Lucha Underground... I really hope at some point I get a shout out from Lucha Underground because I really promote the hell out of them.
You're really plugging them.
Yeah, but
right,
like,
now I'm holding up a gif of the Bubba
shit.
Ray Bulldog turned into a concussion. That's the spot. Just spikes him right on his head.
That's really
it's
bad.
Really bad.
That's really bad. But
everyone should go find that if you Google Jericho Bubba Ray concussion.
My whole day has been ruined. That is rough.
So. If you're an internet wrestling fan, you know, you probably started hearing, even if you don't watch TNA, you started hearing about the Broken Hardys in,
yeah.
you know, March 2006. And you're like, oh, there's something, like, weird going on. And there's all these, like, catchphrases that I don't have any context
yeah.
for. And
what
I will
I loved,
say,
real quick, what I love, sorry, I know you're going to go into it, but you gave me an entire encyclopedia worth of, like, here's all the terminology, and here's what it means, here's the significance of everyone in this storyline, and...
Seven deities, broken brilliance, brother Nero, the books of youth, delete, delete, delete.
A dilapidated boat.
I knew you'd come, the lake of reincarnation.
Yeah.
I mean, there's... And that's just a couple of them. I mean, there's a lot
there's
going
a lot
on
going
in this.
On in this. Yeah.
If you haven't watched TNA, and you haven't watched any of the Broken Hardy stuff, go in our episode description.
Mm-hmm.
I've got links to a bunch of segments, articles, and the matches. And go do yourself the favor of catching yourself up on the Broken Hardys.
It's great.
I'm gonna give an overview of sort of what this is, and we're going to talk about it,
yep.
but it sort of needs to be seen to believe.
It really does. And they shoot this differently, too, for this Broken Hardy stuff.
Yeah, it's all shot like a movie,
yeah.
but not a good-looking movie
not
like
a great
Lucha
movie.
Underground.
Kind of like a student film.
Yes, like The Room. If anyone's seen Tommy Wiseau's The Room, it's like that, but with
good
pro wrestling.
Good shout-out.
Yeah.
Good shout-out. Good shitty film shout-out. go watch that, too.
Yeah, go watch The Room. It's awesome. So we've got Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy are the tag team champions. Jeff Hardy in real life gets injured in a motorcycle accident because Jeff is like a daredevil and loves, you know, riding motorcycles. He gets hurt.
He loves his motorcycles. He loves his
Soma and his Vicodin.
And his Vicodin and his crazy
Swanton
lawn.
Swanton bombs.
Yeah.
Oh, and his crazy lawn. Yeah, you're right. So he gets injured. They have to vacate the titles. Matt goes on to... It's just this weird thing where they pair them up in a... it's so hard to describe. I don't really know. It's this weird thing where, like, Matt and Jeff have an I Quit match where they kick the crap out of each other all over the, you know, the arena.
It was like a peek into their childhood.
Jeff hits a Swanton bomb off the top of these stairs down through a table, and when Matt comes back after that match, it's an I Quit match and it ends in a no contest because yeah. they're both kind of unconscious. It's
right,
kind of weird.
Right.
Matt comes back. He's got a streak in his hair. He's talking with this weird, like, he calls it like a how people will speak in the future.
Oh.
And he's a madman, pretty much. He's like, broken hearty.
He, like, switches between, like, a Spanish accent and a British accent and
obsolete. I can't do it. No one can do it. It doesn't make any sense.
Like South African accent, yeah. You know, like it's all over the place, but apparently it's all one thing.
Yeah. So he comes out. He's broken.
Looks
Matt.
Like Cruella de Vil.
And he is sick of living. He does look like Cruella de Vil.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. I love it.
He comes back and he, you know, he's talks about tired of living under his little brother's shadow, that type of stuff, and which is something that's true. Like
Jeff Hardy was
the one that the girls loved. He was the high flyer. Everyone loved Jeff Hardy. And Matt Hardy was just sort of, like, tagging along with them.
Right.
Which is so frustrating when you're the reason that, like, you guys got signed and you
right.
were the promoter and you sewed his tights and, you know, you have all that stuff. And but
they
he comes
just want
out,
you.
They just want Jeff. But they come out and they decide that they're going to have a match. So they have this contract signing. And it's this bizarre thing where King Maxwell, who is Matt Hardy's like 1-year-old son, has a birthday party in a wrestling ring on the Hardy compound. There's a Hispanic groundskeeper
yep.
named Senior Benjamin who gives King Maxwell a xylophone.
What an excellent xylophone!
And Matt's you do a better one than I do. That's Matt's birthday present for King Maxwell is to expunge Jeff from the family tree.
To delete him.
Delete! And that's pretty much what delete, obsolete.
The final deletion.
Deletion! What you end up doing is you have a match where these two guys wrestle for the intellectual property rights of the Hardys, the name Hardys.
Yep. And it's with a bunch of tiki torches and in their backyard, their redneck.
They take it back to the pretty much the Trampoline Wrestling
yeah.
Federation.
It was this like rich backyard redneck. I don't know.
It's
like,
it's weird.
Over all 50 acres of their land, they wrestled.
There is a drone
yep.
That flies around named Vanguard One
yep.
who has drone soldiers. Yeah, sentient. Will like talk, you know, and bring messages from Matt. They shoot fireworks at each other. They
Roman candles.
Matt is blessed with the gifts of the seven deities who have taught him that his soul is, you know, tens of thousands of years old. And
oh, wow. I wish.
It's just this
Lucky
really
duck.
Weird storyline. And the editing, I would say, way too many camera cuts.
Oh, this was a little ridiculous.
I was getting nauseous. Like I was like, stop.
It's like
with the cuts.
They thought that they were shooting a Bourne movie.
Yeah, and they weren't.
They were shooting a pro wrestling match.
But it's one of the most amazing things I've ever seen.
It was great. I really enjoyed it, you know. And
Jeff hits a Swanton out of a tree.
Yeah, that was a big Swanton. And like, so one thing that I always like about these more, well, I guess TNA in general, because you don't have the huge crowd. Right?
Huge
crowd. You don't have that. And so you actually get to hear like the grunts and like the way they actually like sound.
Yeah, when you hit the ground after falling out of a tree, like
right.
you're going to make a certain sound. Yeah. And it doesn't sound great.
I don't know why I find that fascinating, but I do.
Yeah.
But yeah, then it was during this as well. Well, I guess, okay, so there are a couple things that happened. So, a dilapidated boat. Matt is running away as Jeff, well, so I guess Matt uses a Roman candle first, but this is like a Roman candle on steroids.
In the middle of a wrestling match, for some reason.
In the middle of a wrestling match.
Just shoot fireworks at each other.
He goes under the apron, and he grabs a Roman candle, and he starts shooting Jeff, and Jeff's like, what the hell's the matter with you? And
starts blocking it with the trash can lid.
Yeah, exactly. Classic.
Again, watch this shit. Yeah. It is the craziest shit that's happening in wrestling right now. If you're just watching WWE, you're missing out
on
the craziest thing. You're just like, oh, well, at least the Fashion Police are funny.
Right.
Yes, they're hilarious. Fashion Police, maybe the best thing going in WWE. Nothing compared to Broken Hardys. It's crazy.
And then so Jeff gets a Roman candle as well, and he starts shooting the hell out of Matt. Matt runs, and he screams a dilapidated boat, which is
just comes across the dilapidated boat.
It's just,
I was blessed by the seven deities with a dilapidated boat.
And so then he hides behind that. Out of nowhere. Well, so I guess he Jeff runs at him, and then they start wrestling right there, and he, like, supposedly drowns Jeff.
Yes, he takes Brother Nero.
Brother Nero.
Drowns him in the lake.
And then
a masked man attacks Matt.
With a really high-pitched voice. And is this?
So that is an old gimmick of Jeff Hardy named Willow the Wisp. And he comes out, and everybody's excited to see Willow back. He had done that gimmick, I think, when he was young, and then a few years earlier in TNA. And so out of nowhere, here comes Willow. Senior Benjamin hits Willow with the taser.
Yeah.
Then Matt pins, because there's a referee just hanging out at their house, just like trying to keep some sort of semblance
of a
match.
Matt told him specifically, don't resuscitate him.
Yeah, so they pin Willow, remove the mask, but somehow magically it's Senior Benjamin. So somehow he tased himself, and Jeff chokes Matt, climbs up on this giant Hardy Boys symbol, does a swanton, but before he can, Matt uses a candle that his wife gives him to light the symbol on fire. Jeff falls and gets pinned and deleted. And deleted.
What is getting deleted?
Deleted is where you take the soul, you take the very essence of the person, and you rip it out of them, and you own that soul now. And now the person who you've deleted is your work donkey, and you can.
So Brother Nero is now Matt's work donkey.
Yes, and he will just use him as his obsolete work donkey to make money. And
wow.
And I mean, this shit is crazy.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how. And that is just one match.
Yeah. Wow.
That, let alone all of the promos. Jeff Hardy has to I'm sorry, Brother Nero. His name is Brother Nero now. Brother Nero. When someone is a Brother Nero, they are a traitor.
Yeah.
There's all this terminology, and again, this will all be in the notes for the episode. We will help you get through this. You will be happier when you get through the other side.
But like, so with this, so now we get to WrestleMania 33. Okay, so we skip. Well, I guess we don't.
I mean, there's quite a lot of other things where they face decay, and they have the tag team, and new old characters come up, like Itchweed with three E's. They smash pumpkins as a reference to Billy Corgan from the Smashing Pumpkins, who was looking into buying TNA at one point. Crazy Steve with two Z's dumps a bucket of water from the Lake of Reincarnation.
There's
like fighting by a Ferris wheel. I mean, like, it goes on.
Well,
because
Matt
and on
Matt
and
in
it is
the
weird.
Abyss. Matt and the Abyss, like, it looked like they were just like out in the middle of the street, like not anywhere near.
Right.
The venue at that point. Like, they were like, it looked like they were going into a neighborhood or whatever. You know, like, they were that far off. They're just fighting.
And they get on a truck. They're like fighting on the back of a truck
on,
and like.
On the freeway.
I know this makes no sense. I know if
we're
you're still listening
nonsense.
To us at this point, God bless you because
it
is that weird.
Yeah, but like, fast forward. You know, we fast forward through the summoning a zoo and fighting a kangaroo.
Exactly.
Through George Washington, the giraffe. You know, we fast forward through all of that stuff.
Come and, join our inside jokes. Yeah. Be a part of this fun crowd with us.
Exactly. Watch wrestling. But then we get to WrestleMania 33. Brian has no idea what's going on, why everyone's happy. Scott is telling him to shut up.
Then politely.
Well,
I just... maybe not.
But I understand, though. But then we watched that today. It's great.
Yeah, you rewatched it today. So we watched it live.
Rewatched it today.
It's the return of the Hardys to WWE. No one knows it's coming. There are some rumors. People are hoping it's coming, but they fought in a ladder match the night before against the Young Bucks in Ring of Honor because they left TNA.
Right.
I don't know if we talked about that yet, but they...
And Matt still has... Matt is still broken Matt. He still has the Cruella de Vil hair.
Yeah, and no one knows. They think, can they go to WWE? Who owns the rights to the broken gimmick? Is it TNA? Yeah. Is it a company called Anthem? Is it the Hardy Boys? Everybody kind of disagrees. No one knows where the Hardys are going to end up.
Yeah, and the crowd is screaming, delete,
the music hits.
Yeah.
I scream. Adam screams. Everyone else watching is like, what the hell's happening? Yeah. Like... Really, it was
like me, your wife, and Adam's girlfriend are all just like, all right.
And we're just like, oh my God, the heart is back. delete. And the crowd, you're right. Everyone's just chanting delete. And like, and it's a ladder match. And, you know, and so the Hardys are back. And it's a kind of a weird mixture of like old Team Extreme with them and Lita, like that, the Hot Topic look mixed with the broken Hardys.
Right.
And that's because no one still actually knows who owns that gimmick. Still? They're still trying to figure it out.
Do you think that's why they haven't been featured very much in WWE?
They don't know quite what they're going to do with the Hardys yet now that this WrestleMania. They won the titles. They're the champs. They're still wrestling.
And that's for Raw, right?
Yeah, they're the Raw tag team champs.
Which I just learned today. I didn't know SmackDown tag team and Raw tag team were two different things. I thought that it was just tag team, kind of like how the world title... travels brands.
No, there are two world titles as well.
Shit! What the hell?
You're new. We're only on episode 10.
Wait a second.
We'll get there.
But isn't Jinder Mahal the guy?
He's the Raw champion.
No, he's SmackDown.
You're right. He's SmackDown.
That's right.
Shit. All right. Good. You got me on that one.
Touché.
But then the Raw champion is Brock Lesnar.
But isn't that the Universal champion?
Yeah, but that's on the Raw brand.
Okay. They're the same thing but different.
They're the two top belts, one for each brand. Okay. One for Raw, one for SmackDown.
And then you have the International, which is
the Intercontinental.
The Intercontinental.
That
the
one
IC.
Can move from brand to brand based on who wins it.
But then you have the U.S. title.
Same type of thing.
Okay.
But there's only one of those.
By the way, Kevin Owens' work with the U.S. title, hilarious.
Yeah, he's doing great.
He's the face of America. Yeah. This is great. In fact,
as a Canadian. Yeah.
Fantastic. Anyway.
And then, yes, two tag team titles. One's held by the Hardys. The other is held by Cesaro and Sheamus right now, I think. Is that right?
The Usos. Because that Fashion Police match.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fashion Police, if you're not watching SmackDown right now, Fashion Police, amazing. So, that's kind of where we are with the Hardys. I mean,
I'm excited. I'm excited to see more. Like I said, I was hesitant because I was super judgmental and kind of a jerk. But I'm actually really excited to see what can happen with the Hardys, even though they're a little bit older. My thing is I have a hard time jumping on the bandwagon of somebody. You know, like you asked me, like, who do you like? And I was like, I like Goldberg. And,
right.
You know, it's like, but he's old and he's, you know, he was way before I jumped into wrestling.
Sure.
So, like, my guy now is kind of Prince Puma and...
Johnny Mundo
and a lot of those guys.
But how are you feeling about the Hardys?
I love the Hardys.
Yeah.
So I'm actually really excited. And that's what I love about this show is I get to learn so much about, well, you know, a lot of dead guys, but some...
But not today.
Not today. Only one person is dead.
And you already knew it happened.
And, well, I guess Jeff is kind of dead.
He's been deleted.
He's been deleted.
He is obsolete. It's so goddamn annoying, I'm sure, for anyone listening right now that they're going, well, that sounds awful. And every time he does that voice, I want to turn this podcast off.
Don't turn off the podcast.
At the LTR podcast. For as long as we're being annoying, we'll give ourselves a plug. A couple story time.
Yeah,
I always like
it.
To do. I just a couple little.
Wow, we're just barely
things.
Jumping into story time.
Yeah.
This is great.
A couple little tiny things. Lita, WWE debut was actually one of the Godfather's hoes. Now I know that seems weird to you. The Godfather was a Attitude Era creation where he was a pimp. Dressed to the nines as a pimp, and every week he brought out, you know, 10 or so local busted stripper-looking ladies and boat show models, and they would just come down to the ring, and all of his moves were like the hoe train and all that kind of stuff. It's pimping ain't easy was his catchphrase. But Lita showed
really
up to see...
I'm having a hard time with this.
Lita, it was a different time. Lita showed up to a taping to see Matt and Jeff, who she wrestled with in Omega,
right,
and had known them forever.
Oh, she'd wrestled with them in Omega. Oh, that's right. You said Lita. Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right.
She went and trained in Mexico, so and then sort of got to know the Hardys, and, you know, after that. She was working for ECW as Miss Congeniality, but didn't really love ECW so much, and so when she went to go visit WWF, she wanted to go see the Hardys win the tag team titles for the first time against the Acolytes. She went to the taping, and someone backstage said, "Hey, do you want to be a hoe?" And she said, "If it gets me on WWTV, I will be a hoe." And she did, and she went out and cheered for the Godfather and la-di-da, and that's how that was
Godfather
her first time on
now.
TV.
And
he
we're
still
are,
alive.
Well, he need the
owns a strip club in Nevada.
I know it does.
The other story that I had was Stone Cold Steve Austin's first match in the WWF was against Matt Hardy.
Oh, was it?
When Matt was a jobber. And Steve Austin came in as the ringmaster. I'm the ringmaster, and he put Stone Cold over. So those were just two little trivia things that I found.
Interesting. They just have been patient, biding their time.
Yes,
you know, careful with all their career moves. Seems.
And that's the thing is I always try to wrap up like who these wrestlers are. These guys are persistent. And
hustlers.
Always looking ahead and overcoming adversity. I mean, these guys just live to wrestle, and they are going to do what it takes to stay relevant. And it is awesome in an industry where people become dinosaurs in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
For them to relaunch their entire career in 2016.
Well, and with the WWE Training Center now, the way it is,
pumping like, new guys in all the time.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, like, the way they take care of their people now in terms of health is
oh, yeah.
What a great time for them to reinvent themselves.
Absolutely. And so they're back in WWE. Will it be a success? I don't know. But they are just one of the best tag teams that have ever been. They're way more than just the TLC matches, and that's
right.
Something I wanted to get across today. We watched all those, you know, we watched three of the TLC matches, but they've done so much more. And I, also the big takeaway for me getting ready for this episode was that I was a huge Jeff Hardy fan and not so big of a Matt Hardy fan
growing
up.
You feel like
up.
A big fat jerk.
I do, because I didn't fully appreciate Matt Hardy until the TNA stuff and finding out about
him.
I'm
a big fat jerk too.
Because I was the, you know, quote unquote promoter for my backyard wrestling fed, and obviously we didn't get anywhere close to his, you know, where they did. He was a much better promoter than I was, but I just thought that was so cool.
That is really cool.
To learn how to sew so that you could make the guy's tights. I mean, that was awesome.
That's pretty badass.
So watch everything in our episode description. Go learn about Broken Hardys. I know it seems like a lot. If you have any questions, email us at the ltrpodcast@gmail.com. Leave us a review on iTunes, 5 stars. Let people know why they should listen. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at the ltrpodcast.
We promise we'll love you forever.
Forever. And I got to know who you're going to pick for next week's episode. Here's who we've got to choose from. The Dudley Boys. Edge. Christian. I'm going to split those two up. I'm going to keep the Hardys together as a tag team. If you pick Edge or Christian, I'm going to separate them. Sorry. Yes. Dudley Boys.
Okay.
Chris Jericho.
All right.
Edge again. Jeff Hardy, which we've done. And Decay, the tag team. And oh shit, we've got all the club, Enzo and Big Kaz, Cesaro and Sheamus.
Oh wow, we could jump into a different era.
Again, Cesaro and Sheamus I would split up. Yeah. Enzo and Big Kaz I'd keep together. The club I'd keep together. So I gotta know who you wanna pick from all of those.
I'm gonna complete our secret episode and go Chris Jericho.
Hell yes. That's what I was hoping. I'm super excited.
I'm so excited for that. You stupid idiot!
You stupid idiot! I got a lot to talk about Chris Jericho. So tune in next week. Follow us on social media. Leave us reviews. I'm talking about Chris Jericho. This has been Learning the Ropes.